So, Yuzayin. So I'll read a little bit of Revolvi and I'll do a little bit outside. Okay? So we'll get in. But you can ask questions in the middle, you can stop me, no problem. Carry on eating, if you feel at home.
Get seconds if you want.
Yeah, go get up, get seconds.
Right,
I knew. Yeah, no, go, please. All right, so desires. Mishuna ta'ava gufanid. It's different, the desires of a person. Mehamidot shebehem isaknu adko. From the midas, from the character traits that we discussed till now. We've discussed chaos, anger. We've discussed chasing after reshmehem. We've discussed chasing after honor. Hakpada, particularness about other people. All of these traits, all of these character traits that we try to improve in ourselves, they're based on problems in our character, flaws in our characters, is revolving. Flaws in the way we think, flaws in our character. And the avoda here is to change those flaws. However, taiva, desire, is twofold. A person's desire is not a flaw in his character. Your desires aren't something you don't need. You need the desire to eat, right? Because tomorrow you guys are going to be fasting, right? You're going to be fasting tomorrow. If you don't eat before you fast, you're going to be weak. And the main purpose of a fast isn't so much, at least a Tanit Darabonin, so says the Mogen Avraham, a Tanit Darabonin, a Tanit is only a rabbinical fast is tshuva. If you eat before you fast, you have koach to do tshuva. If you don't eat, you'll be just thinking about the food. Right? Everything we do, desire is an important thing. If you didn't have the desire to food, would you waste half an hour of your time sticking spaghetti down you? You wouldn't be doing that. It's only because the spaghetti's tasty. You remember those days when the food, well, not when you were here, it doesn't happen in Mochon Yaakov, the food's no good, right? But I'm sure there's been days where you've been in places where the food's been no good. Did you eat it? No, you're at the cafeteria or whatever, right? Or you didn't eat. You need to eat something to sustain you. But you didn't eat it, it wasn't tasty. Can you imagine if we changed all our meals to, it could, in theory, I'm sure we could do it. Have a little pill that gives you, you go to a doctor, he works out exactly a balanced diet for you, probably very healthy as well, and he gives you a pill giving you the exact vitamins you need, the amount of cholesterol, the amount of carbohydrates you need. I'm sure they could design such a thing, right? And it's not a tasty thing, you just, or it's a milkshake or something, right? You just drink it, that's it. How many people in the world would do it? Same with the healthier way to eat. How many people in the world would do it? Not many. The majority of people wouldn't do it. Correct?
You give up chocolate, Micah?
Huh?
You give up chocolate?
No, okay. Changed his mind, right? Not many of us would do that. We don't only eat to sustain our goof. We eat because we enjoy the process of eating. Correct?
Right.
Correct.
Right. Now, if we didn't enjoy it, we probably wouldn't eat. So the desire for eating is an important thing in kiyum, in our kiyum, in sustaining us. Correct? It's an important thing to sustain us. So now, if that's the case, it's important to sustain us. Yeah? Why is it a bad thing? So we see there's lots of Gemaras. He brings lots of Gemaras. We're going to mention some of them. But Rashi in Chumash says, Kadoshim to you, be holy. What does it mean, be holy? So Rashi says, Kol Mokum, any place you find, Geda Arayas, you're porush, you separate yourself from Arayas, from desires, from physical desires, right? That's a Geda of Kedushin. The Ramban goes on to explain similarly to Rashi, it's Cholek a little bit, but similar, that Havdalah, separation from that which is mutter, right? You can be a manuvel begerato, you can be a disgusting person, even a frum, you can have the best badatz meal, but you can eat it in a way that you, steak a day, right? You can have a kosher cheese, a kosher, not cheeseburger, a kosher burger, right? Sorry, cheeseburger. Tofu cheeseburger, right? With a, you know, no problem with Maris Ayin. It doesn't look like cheese, right? It's like green or something, I don't know. Right? It doesn't look like cheese. Or it's known to the world that that's tofu, right? I once saw a lasagna, I think a Tivol made a lasagna with like a soya meat. And it looked very good, but I mean, you can have these things, it's possible. Anyway, so now, let's go back to where we were. So we see that separating, person separating from his desires is an important thing. So on one stage, it's an important thing that we need, because without it, we wouldn't have kiyum for our sustenance, and also, you know, desire for having children. We wouldn't have children. Some people wouldn't have children if there wasn't the desire for having children. I mean, many people have the desire. Nowadays, modern society, you can have the desire and you don't have children. But in theory, right, if people didn't have that desire, they wouldn't have children. And there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that when the Sanhedrin, right, they made a decree. They were mevatel. They nullified the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah because it was too strong in Klal Yisrael. There was too much going after Avodah Zarah. Sanhedrin uprooted it. So what happened? Was uprooted with it the prophecy. We lost prophecy. They uprooted the Avodah Zarah for the Yetzer Hara, the desire for Avodah Zarah. We don't understand what that is, right? Prophecy was uprooted because you have to be an equal balance. They thought they would uproot the desire for Arias, for illicit relationships. The chickens didn't lay eggs. They couldn't do it. The chickens didn't lay eggs. There's no kiyum to the world. There was no establishment of the world. So you see, the desire is an important thing. The Sanhedrin wants to uproot it because we were going after that too much. So how do we work this thing out? That's the problem here. Yeah.
I have a question. You said that, the Rashi said that basically you want to get rid of your, or like try to downplay your physical desires, and that's the way to be Kodosh.
Right.
But I thought Kodosh was more of like a state of connection. And so, and usually, like your desires, like if you channel them for good, then that generates that, you know, that.
Okay, alright. I'll read you here. I'll explain what you're saying. I'll read you here a Chazanish. Revolvi brings this Chazanish. It's an Igeret. The Chazanish wrote, people used to write him questions, and he has letters that he used to answer to people. So Revolvi brings down here this Chazanish. I'll read you this Chazanish. It says, Lizayem me'od me'od. Be very, very careful. Me'achilet ta'anug. From eating for pleasure. In betumat haguf. If we're speaking about tumat haguf that a person has as impurity of his physicalities, right? If it's like tumma, you know what tumma is? Like tumma vatara? Like, you know, you touch a dead person, you become tame?
Spiritual impurity.
Okay. That's tumma sagub. Yesh rishon la tumma. There's a first tumma, there's a first impurity. Yesh ava tumma, there's a father of tumma. Yesh avi avota tumma, which is the dead person himself. He's avi avota tumma. Ubatumas nefesh, the tumor of a person's inner soul, right? Shel milui hatava, it's filling his desires ba'achiletanu, with the eating of desire. That means the Rechazanish is telling you that just as you have a concept of physical impurity, of tumor, you touch a dead person, you touch, you know, dead animal, yeah? Yeah, you become tame. It's not noheg bismanenu because we're all tamei mesim, right? But there's an inyan not to be tame. There's an inyan not to be tame. That's why sometimes people go to the mikveh and stuff like that for certain types of tumah, right? Mitached rishon tumah va'ava tumah va'avi avot tumah. Here, all three of these tumahs come together when it comes to making your nefesh, your soul, impure. Chazanish is telling you can make your soul impure, and how you do that? With desires. So he goes on. V'davazeh hu mitashveli me'od. These things are for the low lives. It's a low thing. These are low things. And we're not talking about us, but you don't have to go very far in the world to. I mean, Manhattan is full of those types of people.
Hey. That's why you live in Brooklyn.
Right. That's why you're in Israel.
Right. It's full. I mean, people who live their lives just for physical desires. Right?
Sure.
That's Avi Avot HaTumah, says the Chazon Ish. That's the highest level of spiritual tumah. That's what Chazon Ish is saying. I'm just reading you Chazon Ish. Ma'od. Ma'akvi metalimud. It prevents a person's learning. Kida'amru b'midrash. Like it says in a midrash. V'huvu b'tosfus. And it's brought in a tosfus in Ksuvus Kuf Dalad Amud Aleph. Right? There it says. I'm quoting the... Ad sha'adam, until a person prays, mitpalel, she kansu divrei Torah, that the words of Torah, letoch gufo, come into his body, yitpalel, Torah is supposed to go into your body, do you know that? Torah doesn't go into your mind, it goes into your body, do you know that? Torah goes into your body, it permeates. Yitpalel, he should daven, shelo yikansu ma'adanim, tasty things. Delicacies, letoch gufo. Daven, that doesn't come part of you. It doesn't mean you can't have a little cake here and there, right? We're not going to get to what this means, right? For us, at least. You know, each one's on a different level, right? I knew I had a Rebbe once who never used to eat cake during the week, not because he didn't want to get fat. That's how he used to do it. Shabbos is the time for oneg, it's a mitzvah of oneg, mitzvah of enjoyment. Shabbos is the time when I do a mitzvah, I eat cake. The weekday, no mitzvah for enjoyment, I don't eat cake. That's not for us. Not for me either, right? But there's levels, people live on different levels. You can understand that. Okay. V'amru begitin, and it says in Gitin, Ayin Amud Aleph, Sudatecha, your suda, shanat chaymenu, you will benefit from it. Moshuch yadecha imenu. Remove your hands from it. What do you mean? We're all eating here. Moshuch yadecha mimenu. Take your hands away from it. Just get second portion, the rabbi told you. What do you mean? Moshuch yadecha. Don't indulge. Don't indulge. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis, and it's brought down nowadays, one of my students showed me, that in modern psychology, that it comes out to be 100%, applicable. The Rambam, I think the Rambam says 3/4. You should fill yourself 3/4. You shouldn't fill yourself completely. Because that's overeating. Your body has nothing to do with the extra food. The extra food is just your body, it makes your body work more to get rid of it. It becomes like poison to your body. You just have to get rid of it. You don't need it. Yeah, the Rambam says that. It's brought down, I think one of my students showed me an article. He sent me an email, an article, showing that that's how true that is. Well, I don't know too much about these things, but I know the Rambam says it. But apparently, you know, not psychologists, they're dietitians or something did this. Okay, so it's a concept. The Rambam wasn't telling you to look, be healthy. The Rambam was saying how a person should eat, how a person should behave. Right? Now, all of these things, I'm giving you an idea. This doesn't mean each person has to live with his own level. We're going to get to that in the end. We're going to try and like work out what this means to us. But the concept we should try and understand. You understand? Nowadays, the concept is not even there. In the Western world, you're supposed to enjoy yourself as much as you can. If you can find a tastier chocolate or a tastier piece of schnitzel, go for it. There's no concept of not going for it. The better, the more, the merrier, right? Because macha yamut, tomorrow you're going to die. So enjoy yourself while you can, while you're young. Till you get to 40 and you're 50 and you have a depression crisis. Okay, that's a separate issue. Yeah? But, seriously speaking, what's the Chazon Ish telling us here? He's saying this, Avi Avot HaTumah in Taibas. You can metame yourself. There's a Rambam. The Rambam says, at the end of Hilchas Bias Isurim, the end of the laws of things which are improper relationship. He says there, he says basically there, this explains, that a person can't have two thoughts in his mind. If a person has desires in his mind, desires of fantasies or thinking about women, the words of Torah won't be in his mind. It doesn't go together. Or that, or that. If you're focusing and you're learning, it'll remove those other things from your mind.
Wow. So if you're thinking about your learning, you also can't pray.
Huh? No, I would say it's a problem. If you're really learning, if you get up, that's what it says. You have to leave your learning. You have to daven. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You have to daven through halacha psuka, from a halacha which doesn't have a machlokas. It's a clear halacha. Why? Because if, let's be honest, you come out, it doesn't happen in yeshivas. You're just in the middle of the sugya, you finish the shir, and then you go into daven, right? The shir, the rabbi said a chiddush you didn't think about, and you're arguing with him, right? And then they said, no, we have to start. So the rabbi said, one second, let's go daven, right? You had your mind thinking about that shayla the whole time, right? It's very hard to daven. Somehow you have to be minatek, separate from that, and daven. Yeah, it's hard. That's why it says you go through davening the halacha psuka. You don't have learning on your mind because you think about it. I want to tell you something. Between the two of us, halavai, that would be our problem. The problem is when we daven, you know, other things like, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that, and what about paying that? Yeah, halavai, our terror is the one that's occupying our mind. That would be a good thing. That's a good thing. Believe me. There's another Gemara. Gemara says in Shabbos, Rava, the one who was sitting there, and you know he was learning, and he had his fingers under his thighs, and he was learning to the extent that his fingers was bleeding. And one of the Karaites said, "You Jewish, you idiots, you Jews, that you put your mouth before your ears." That you said Nasev and Ishma, right? Or you're still in that stupidity that you're learning. You took upon yourself something which is bigger than you, and because his whole hand was bleeding, he didn't even realize it. I mean, his learning of Torah caused him to be bleeding. He took on something bigger than you. That Rava, when Gemara and Shabbos says that when he was learning, and they called them to pray, so he said, "You're leaving Torah, which is Chaye Olam, which is the life of the world, to pray, which is Chaye Shah, which is the life of the moment. I davening, praying, in comparison to Torah, is Chaye Shah." What does Shulchan Aruch say about Torah, about davening? It says when a person davens, he reaches levels of nevuah. I mean, not us, but in theory, of prophecy. A person can, it pashtus a goof. You can get to a stage where you leave your goof. Rabbi Akiva used to daven in one place, and he used to find himself in another place when he finished his davening. It wasn't because he was shockling. He had no kibbutz to his goof when he was davening. Even still, Torah is considered chaye olam. It's the life of the world in comparison to tefillah, which is chayei shah. And Rashi explains, why is it chayei shah? Because you tefillah, you're asking for your own needs. We don't understand what Torah is. We don't understand what tefillah is. But we understand a little bit what the Gemara says. You understand? Okay. Now let's get back to the original question, your question. So we see from this that going after our desires pushes away Torah. Rabbi, how can I remember my Gemara? Oh, you get, how can I remember my words? Oh, you get book cards, or, you know, I saw one boy, he had they flash cards to you, they flash words to you, like the words, all the words you put in the computer, and they flash it randomly to you, right? No, there's lots of things, or simonim. What's the best way to learn Torah? No, the best way to remember Torah?
Stay away from desire.
Yes. Desires removes Torah.
What did you say?
Desires. That's what Chazon Ish is saying.
Desires.
Desires removes Torah. You want to know Torah? You want Ruchnius? Keep away from physicalities. The more you keep away from physicalities on your level, whatever that means, I'm going to explain what that means for our level. On our level, the more we can be more. We come towards Torah. That's what the Chazon Ish is saying here. And he's saying something very deep also. He's saying, it's avi avot atumah. That means you can become a mace, chas v'shalom. You become dead if you go after those desires. What is, and Ravolbi says, he's Miramis here, he hints here, what's this Avi Avodah Tumah? It's what the world goes for, what they go for in Manhattan, that's Avi Avodah Tumah. That removes a person from this world. And you know what happens when you do those things? So the Gemara says as follows. The first time you do an Aveira, it's an Aveira. You feel bad. The second time you do it, it's Mutter. Hutra. You don't even think it's wrong. But you know, you became rogil to it. It became something that you used to do. When you're used to do something, it's very hard, one, to get out of it. And second of all, you don't even feel, you lose your maila, you lose the place you're in. You become that. Baruch Hashem in yeshiva, you know? That's why we don't have mixed yeshivas, there's a reason for it, right? You know, can you imagine in class, you're sitting there and, you know, like you want to ask a good question because you like that girl over there, right? How much Torah are you going to be learning? Not much, right?
You'll be striving for the Dabam Kasha.
Yeah, the Dabam Kasha. But you won't be caring about the Torah.
Yeah, that's a good question. All right. What is the question, Steve?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. That's the question's
for the wrong. Ooh, dreamy. Good Kasha.
Eugene, you hear that Kasha? It's good, right?
You understand?
What means Kasha?
Question.
Like a really big probing question, like attacking question.
Right.
I know, actually.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Makes sense? Okay. Now, basically, that Avi Avodah Tumah, and that's what the Rambam's saying, if you go for those desires, Torah is not in your mind. And that's what the Gemara says. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, this halacha. It says, what Torah has kiyum? What Torah has, how do you say kiyum, establishment by us? What Torah stays with us? We're talking about memory. What Torah stays with us? Torah, shumeimis atzmo aleh, that a person kills himself upon it. What do you mean you kill yourself on your Torah? What do you mean you kill yourself? Hello? You kill yourself on your Torah?
Occasionally.
Why do you should be killing yourself? Torah is life. Kihu chayenu. You say that in writing, Davin. Kihu chayenu. It's my life. Our lives. Va'orach yameinu. The length of our days. So you should kill yourself? It's the opposite. It gives you life.
So was the carry right then? He's talking
about, we're going to explain that, right? We'll explain that. It's very good. Obviously, he was wrong.
Obviously.
You kill yourself, right? You kill yourself from the physicalities of this world. That's killing yourself. And that gives you real life. It gives you life of spirituality. Listen, I'll just tell you this is something, if you see it, you know, it's an amazing thing. We have to see people like this. My Rosh Hashiva, Rishwur Arbach, so, you know, he always used to learn at home. We never used to see him in the yeshiva at night because he used to go home. He had a wife. When his wife, Aleh Shah, was nifta, right? So he learned into yeshiva. So we used to see him in the yeshiva. So he used to come to the yeshiva. He could come to the yeshiva at 4 o'clock in the morning. He used to sit there. And this is how he used to learn Torah. He used to sit, learn Torah. Sit. Every day this was. He used to learn. Until he fell asleep, and he'd fall asleep like that. Then after a few minutes, he'd wake up, carry on learning. Until he was tired, fell asleep again. Woke up, carried on learning. He didn't do this for 1 day, 2 days. The whole week was like this. He had a wooden bench by his table. So sometimes in the middle of the morning, he was a little tired. So he used to put his hand down like that. And when I saw this. He used to sleep. It wasn't like a long sleep. His hand was down. Can you imagine how you sleep with your hand down on a bench? What happens when you fall asleep? Your head falls down. So his head fell down, and he woke up. He put it up again. Head falls down, put it up again. Right? That's sleep. You guys call that sleep? Try that one day. He did that the whole week for many, many months.
This was in lieu of taking any time to sleep. This was the only sleep he got was a little
nap. These little naps, yeah. He did sleep once a week on Shabbos. There's a special thing, right? Probably his reasoning was, there's a concept. He didn't want to taste the taste of death. Sleeping is a 60th of death. He didn't want to, it's not for us. But the concept. There's a concept here. We can't do this. And we shouldn't do this. For us, it's unhealthy.
Did the Rambam say to sleep 8 hours a night?
The Rambam said, that's the maximum you should sleep. He didn't say that's how much you should sleep. I'm sure the Rambam didn't sleep 8 hours at night. But you have a concept. You have to have a concept. Certainly, that wasn't there for me to do that. I can't do that. But the concept, you're tired, right? You when you're back home, you know, it's how many guys in Manhattan sleep 4 hours a day and then they have a full day the next day because they were at the bar and whatever, right, that night. They can manage. How many guys have a test and they stay up, college, a whole month, test, doing for that test, right? You all of a sudden they have the energy. But no, it's late at night, I can't learn Torah, I'm tired, it's better when I'm ready in the morning, and you sleep anyway a little bit extra, right? Torah has kiyum when you may misatzmo aleh, when you kill yourself over it. So Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Shelo notin, tnuma le'enav, shena le'enav, sleep to his eyes, utnuma le'afafav, he doesn't give his eyelids to close. He lands like that, and he picks his eyelids up. It's a strain. Now, I'm not saying we should learn like that. It's not for us. But the concept we should have. It's not only we want to separate ourselves from the desires. Sleep is also a desire. The beginning...
Yes, it is.
Yeah. When you're fast asleep, it isn't. When you're fast asleep, it isn't. Does it really make a difference? That extra 10 minutes, if we're really lucky on a Sunday, that extra hour we're awake and then slipping it out. That sleep in the morning, right? And Shulchan Aruch, how does Shulchan Aruch start? Yitgaber Kari, the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, the first, get up like a lion. So Bhagavad Gita, you shouldn't jump out, you should wait and then get out. Right?
That's right?
Yeah, that's it. It's because Gemara and Gita he brings.
You're doing this all wrong.
You should wait a bit and then get out of bed.
What do you wait for?
No, because you shouldn't jump out of bed straight away. You should not wait. No, wait. I'm not talking about wait a period of time. I'm saying like you open your eyelids out, right? You don't jump out of bed as soon because that's not good for you. You all right? You should open your eyes out, refresh, a few moments. No, not even a minute. A few moments. And then get out of bed.
And then say Modani.
Yeah, that's Modani and the whole thing.
You don't say Modani while you're still in bed, you should be standing up for
it. No, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to say, you can
what
say.
What if your roommate's alarm goes off, but not your alarm? Do you have to wake up?
Okay, so it's like this. It's if you're going to fall asleep afterwards, so fine, you can fall asleep because that's the amount of hours you want to sleep. We'll come to that. But if you're not going to fall asleep afterwards, get up. We usually have a battle with our Yetzer Hara. Mishnah Berurah brings this battle down. He says, in the winter, we say, oh, it's cold outside. My warm bed, I can't get up. Now I'm too cold out there, right? In the summer, oh, I'm tired. It's hot, I'm tired. I need to sleep a bit more. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same.
It's not as much a battle as it is a massacre.
It's
that one by a landslide.
That's a desire. Sleep is a desire.
No, it doesn't.
Sleep is a desire.
And are there serious tactics to beat sleep the same way you can beat Yetzer Hara and other things?
Yeah, I want to say something. The tactics are as follows. The Yetzer Hara thinks now. Right? You want to ask a question? The Yetzer Hara thinks... Okay. The Yetzer Hara thinks now. The Yetzer Tov could think in the future. You know, say, how much sleep you need or whatever it is. You know things which are going to cause you a problem. Think ahead. Don't reach them. That's one thing. Now, sleep is something you have to do, right? So you're going to get sleep. Now, say you realize you need to sleep 6 hours, or 5, or 7 hours, or 8 hours, right? Say you need to sleep a certain amount of time. So, go to sleep at that time. Don't schmooze around. That's the time you need to sleep. Get into bed, you're tired. Go sleep. But make sure when that alarm clock goes off, you get up. Now, you can always, nowadays, one of the boys has this alarm clock.
It runs around,
I don't know what it is. They have all sorts of things, right?
What does he do?
What does he do?
He does a snooze button, but it moves away so you can't
hear the button, right?
I don't know, I've never seen it. He told me he has this like disc that he puts under his pillow. And literally, the other guy would say it was on medium or low volume. And it doesn't make a noise, but it just, he said it just vibrates. His whole bed was vibrating. You're not going to fall asleep with one of those.
One of the guys
I'm sure they have other types, right? I'm sure, you know, the apple has a function here. Really? You know, like if, you know, a hammer comes out and bashes your head or something.
Yeah,
like.
It's a clock that has wheels, and it can fall 3 feet, so it goes off, and then it runs off his desk and runs around.
That's
kind of
one of the greatest
things. Yeah, that's a good idea, right? Right.
You look, it's like, I'm hand off!
Right. That's a good one. You know, there's lots of ways of planning ahead to get out. I mean, everyone has his own like specific thing, but we don't need to sleep that much. What about desires? Okay, so now we ask the kasha. So Revolbi basically gives an answer. What his answer is? Revolbi's answer is be magdir. But say if it comes to food, know how much you need to eat. You know how much you need to eat. And you can be a little bit generous with yourself. Put that on your plate, right? Or if you want to take seconds, you can measure how much you need to eat, and that's what you eat. Now, by us, it might not work. Because, you might do it once, but you're hungry or whatever. But the main thing is the concept. Don't overindulge. And even one day they have a nice sauce, a nice thing, right? And you want to tuck in. Don't overdo it. Now, those are hard things. If you do overdo it, don't hit yourself. Don't bash yourself. Because I'm not sure. Even Shabbos, you shouldn't overdo it. Anytime you shouldn't overdo it.
I tend to go overkill on Shabbos.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but Shabbos is a separate issue.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah, Shabbos is a separate thing. But anytime you shouldn't overdo it, shouldn't indulge. Now, I'm not saying that's the level we're living on. I'm not saying we're living there and that's where we should be doing. So I'm going to explain a different concept. So there's I'm gonna like modify it. The Ramchal in Maseiros Yesharim explains a different way. He brings a kasha, the same kasha. Kedoshim to you, you should be prushim, you should separate precious, you should separate yourself from desires, right? But he then says, a nazir, someone who makes himself osa to drink wine, yeah. He's also to drink wine. He's a chote. He did an avera. It's an avera. You make yourself also wine. Wine something is mutter. You don't make yourself something is mutter also to you. Don't add to the Torah. It's enough what a Kodesh Baruch had to do. Don't make a Kodesh Baruch gave you the world to enjoy it, and you're making it also. You also suffer from pears of the world, the fruit of the world. It's an avera. You should be enjoying what Kodesh Baruch created. So it's a stira. How do we understand that stira?
And also enjoy the physical world.
Right. So how do you do that? So it's basically the Mochon Shlomo, Mochon Yaakov, Rabbi Gershon thing of Mekadosh the physical. That's basically what it would be, but we're going to understand a little bit more. What does that mean practically for us? You like pizza, right? Pizza's good, The, what's it called? The Richie's pizza, what is it?
Famous phrase.
Huh? J2. The J2, okay, whatever the pizza you like, right? Or the sauce, or the thing, right? Or the American pizza, whichever one it is, right? You like it. You want pizza. No problem. Go have pizza. You're allowed. It's kosher, no problem, go have pizza. The pizza shop is far away. If I go to the pizza shop, right, which I really want, I'm going to miss my chavrusa, I'm going to miss a shir, something like that. But if I go just to my college guy and I buy myself a little sandwich or, an eschel. I call it eschel. Not ice cream. Pizza and ice cream is not a big difference. I buy myself a little yogurt and a roll, right? Which is probably just as healthy as a pizza, but it's not as tasty. I will have my chavrusa. If I go for the pizza, that's a desire. A desire has to be something which is my control, that I don't go after it when I'm doing something which is wrong. Missing chavrus is something wrong, right? Missing a shir is something wrong.
What if it's a place like this, there's shirs 24 hours a day?
The best specific one.
Two thirds of people here are missing the shir right now.
So no, they go to other shir. They are the shir. No, you can miss it one shir to go to another shir, or to learn with a chavrusa, or learn with a rabbi. That's different. That's not considered an avera. That's not a problem. It's going for a pizza instead of a shir is the problem.
At any time.
No, I'm not telling you. You just walked in. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you that. You go for a pizza, you do whatever you want. No, you're fine, right? No, I'm not telling. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah. I'm not telling you. You can go for a pizza.
We'll go and have a chat over a pizza.
Yeah. That's not a problem.
You can't eat, though.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Can you talk about physical desires?
We'll have a chat over a pizza.
These desires you're talking about, they're only physical desires, yeah?
Yeah, what are the desires?
Okay. Emotional, whatever.
We haven't come to that. Okay. There are certain things that a person A person has certain needs. Certain needs in a person, example, taiva, usually, taivas for women usually come for a need for warmth. People who don't have proper connections, emotional connections, or they don't know how to do them, usually substitute that with a physical desire. There are such things. So when you know, that's more on a personal level. We can't discuss that because people are different. That's not shared. But there are such things that if a person finds that he has no control of his desires, the problem might not be that he has a problem in desires. It might be his emotional makeup, right? His emotional makeup is problematic. So he has to work on that. That's a special. You need to speak to someone. You need to chat with someone about certain things. That can't be done on a shir. That has to be done on a one-to-one basis. You understand?
Sure. So then we're only going to be talking about physical pleasure.
Yeah. But there are sites. Yeah, that can be the makeup of a person is such that his, like, I don't want to call it psychology, but his Chazal speak about it. For example, we've mentioned this sometimes. But a person that Avi Yesodas, we mentioned the four foundations.
Yeah.
The person say, for example, Mayim, water. So Chaim Vital says that a person who has an excess of, you know, has a midah of Mayim, a midah of water. So the psolet of that, the bad of that, which is desires for physicalities, desires for so and Mayim, the fixing of water. Is chesed, is the ability to give. We spoke about that when we spoke about chesed and bina, the ability, the imagination is what causes a person desires. Imagination also which causes a person to do chesed. We spoke about that once before. So there are things like that. For example, control of other people could come from the midah of eish. That's why gaiva or kaas or anger come from that. And that could be a problem that he doesn't have self-control. Right? It's a power issue. The person doesn't have power of himself, he usually tries to have power over other people. But that can come from insecurities. So you have to deal with insecurities of a person. Understand? There are things which are related to a person's psychology, which if you deal with a person, and these things can come also from childhood, insecurities or whatever, these things come from childhood. If you deal with them, that's an individual thing. If you deal with them in a more personal way, sometimes it's not just the fact that he has desires. It's something a little bit more than that, and actually, that way, sometimes easier to deal with, because he thinks he has uncontrolled desires. That's not the reason. There's something else that's playing around with him, and if you tap in to the source, it's easier to solve. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that can't be a shir. That's everyone's an individual. You know, usually in the Western world, the problem with desire is the problem with control. And the problem with usually warmth. They don't have the ability to get into a close relationship. So they substitute it. And the concept of, it's also a control thing, a power game. Manhattan's a very good example of that. You'll find that in the big cities of the world with a lot of power, there's a lot of also physicalities, and there's a lot of also less warmth. That's the world. This is a Makas Medina. This is a consensus in the world.
I didn't really get to close to my question yet.
Yeah, sorry.
So I was just kind of narrowing down.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're talking about physical things, and what about physical things that the Torah says are like to do?
Like what?
So you can indulge. Let's say this is maybe a stupid example, but if we're saying, let's say you really want to shake a lulav, an esrog on, Sukkot.
That's not a physical desire. That's not a physical desire.
Of course it is.
Why? No.
Physical desire to do it.
No.
A rotzen.
That's a physical act, but it's a spiritual desire. I want to daven to Hashem. I want to thank Him. I feel great today. I really enjoyed that Torah. I want to learn. That's a spiritual thing.
Okay, so something physical. The closest thing I can think of was,
I want to really eat a matzah. So the Rashbam in what's it called in Hilchas Maseches Pesachim. It says you shouldn't eat Erev Pesach. Why? Because you want to do a hidu mitzvah. You want to do a special mitzvah. It's better mitzvah with you eating of your matzah. Because you want to eat it with te'avon. You want to eat it with a desire. That's a mitzvah. Because there, you know, Billy, between the two of us, you don't eat matzahs during the week, right? So what's your desire to eat a matzah? If you're hungry, you eat a matzah with te'avon. You eat a matzah with in a desirable way, right? And also, believe me, you know what happens to the kids? Kids don't have, you know, I'm sure kids don't desire matzahs. If I come home with matzahs in the middle of the week and they have bread and they have matzahs, so you want a matzah, they're not going to want a matzah unless it looks like, unless it's like, you know, like a cracker or something, right? Kids don't want a matzah. Bread's much tastier than a matzah. Erev Pesach, you feed them, right? But there's a whole seder, there's a whole thing, and they made a big thing about the matzahs. The kids, the whole Erev Pesach, the whole of the seder, they want, can we have the matzahs? Can we have the charoset? Can we have the things? They're dying to have it. They stuff themselves with matzahs. Little kids, what do they know about mitzvahs? Right? Little kids, right?
I'm afraid more
and they're dying to have the matzahs. They're dying to have the bread.
Basically, they're doing... So they're distancing themselves from Torah by
eating
matzah.
No. That's a different desire. That's a desire. That's a chivuv mitzvah. That's the desire to be involved in a mitzvah, even if there's a mitzvah achila. When we had Beis Hamikdash, you had korbanos. You shechted an animal, and you could eat its meat. Some animals you could eat the meat. The shlamim, the bialim ate the meat. Can you imagine a nice steak of a shlamim? It has hektish, it's kedusha, and you're eating a shlamim. You make peace with you and your creator, and by eating it, it's a kapara. Can you imagine what sort of eating that was? And it's a steak, right? You bring your ma'aseh sheni into Yerushalayim. You can imagine what it would be, the walls of Yerushalayim, the whole of the Jewish people within the walls of Yerushalayim. You know how many shawarma places you're going to have there, the falafel places? You're going to bring your ma'aseh sheni, you're going to buy food, and you have Dushas Maisa Shaini, you're going to be eating Yerushalayim. It's going to be the kotel walls, it's going to be full of restaurants. Right?
Fish.
Right? And you're going to be eating your Maisa Shaini there. Right? All of the Harabais there is going to be just, you know, going to change. People are just going to buy up there for restaurants. Buy your local animal, or, you know, your steak, right? With your Maisa Shaini. That's not a physical desire. You're doing that. It's like eating on Shabbos. You're eating because you're eating for a negative Shabbos. If on Shabbos you do it because you want to, you know, you want to stuff yourself, that's not okay. You're missing out on the mitzvah. But if you're eating on Shabbos, like during the week you don't eat such good food, on Shabbos you eat good food. So if you're doing it on Shabbos, you're eating good food. You're doing it because of the mitzvah of Shabbos. On Shabbos you can sleep long. Some Talmid you sleep longer on Shabbos. Shein b'Shabbos tanug. It's an oneg. That's part of oneg Shabbos. Purim. Sudas Purim. Drinking wine, right?
Can't wait.
Well, why? We're not.
Trip, right?
We're not about... Judaism is not about repression. We're not about repressing our desires. We're about sublimating it to do mitzvahs. That's why. We mentioned this before. There's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says that... if a person wants to taste the taste of meat and milk, he should eat the kachal, the udder of a cow. If he wants to taste the taste of bacon, he should eat a certain fish. Gemara also saying some other things there. But what's up with the Gemara? The world's trying to, like, you know, like tofu is trying to find you out? You know, like a cheeseburger, you can have a soya with a cheese? What's the Gemara, you know? What's the Gemara trying to tell you? What's the Chiddush in the Gemara? What's the Torah the Gemara's trying to tell you? Trying to tell you that there's nothing awesome in Judaism. There's nothing forbidden. It's a question of when and how. We all get married. We all have children. Right? There's nothing awesome. When and how? What's a good relationship? What's a good desire? How to sublimate our desires? We're not animals. You know, cats, you know, there's no concept of issues by a cat. There's no concept of male, female, you know, husband and wife by cats, unless you watch Walt Disney.
I don't want
to. Okay. Yeah. Even robots have romances.
According to Disney.
Right. Okay, fine. No problem. Yeah, you understand? No problem. But certainly we're not cats. You know, if there's no issues, that's not human. That's not sublimation. That's taking something which is holy and making it zal, making it cheap. the concept in Judaism of desires is have them in a controlled way, in a proper way, sublimate. Sublimation always means a certain level of control. That the desires aren't something that I can't control, that I miss Shia for it, I miss Chavrusa for it, I miss, I don't know what I miss for it, right? And certainly things which are awesome that you shouldn't be doing. Do you understand the concept? Makes sense to you? That's the concept of a proper desire. And these are important things, says the Chazon Ish. Because if you don't, you're pushing away your terror. And flashcards aren't going to help. But if you live a proper life, a life where there's not a repression of your desires, it is a repression. If there's any desire that you have, and you feel bad about it, you feel it's a need. Any need which is genuine, and it's mutter to do, you should do it. There's certain needs that, you know, a person has. Every boy after a certain age needs to get married. It's a need. It's not a need that you can say, it's not a need, just, you know, push it to the side. Okay, you're not going to get married. You're not ready to get married yet. Okay, fine. So you have to wait. So that's a need that you have to repress. Not because you should repress it, because there's no way you can express it yet. Really, a boy at 20 years old should be getting married. 21, 20, whatever, that's the age. 22, you should be getting married age. Okay, in the Western world it's not like that. Those things are harder to deal with. You can't sublimate those things. You can only sublimate those things with marriage. But at least we know that's the place to go. We have to sublimate it. Other things, you can sublimate them already. Judaism is not about repression. It's about a genuine need that we have. We should take care of it. But not in a way that it's awesome. Not in the way we lose out of ruchnius. That's the concept. You understand? That's the general concept of desire. Each person has to be honest with himself. Where am I really holding? If he's really holding that he needs those things, he needs a pizza, he needs the ice cream, he needs a tea, he needs whatever he needs the extra sleep, do them. Do them. But if he doesn't need, cut down on them. Now, if he cuts down and says, no, I don't need it, and he'll find that it'll be too hard for him, he'll go back to it. So it's better to cut down little bits, not major things, small things. Huh?
So, okay, so just if you're trying to like work on something, you're saying don't go for...
Don't go for big changes. Never go for big changes.
So, okay.
Go for small changes. Small changes, something you know that you can live by, do that. Something you think you can't live by, don't try it, because it'll just spill over. You go back to where you are. Small changes are real changes. Small, continual changes become part of you. Big changes that you can't hold by will just bring you back to where you are. It won't affect you at all.
So let's say you have that problem of going to the pizza shop every time you have your kibbutzah. Let's say you do that 5 times a week. You're saying you can, if you can push it off like the first 2 days a week, then you should not feel so guilty going the next couple of
days. Maybe you should have a chavrus in the afternoon, I don't know. Maybe you should have a chavrus all the time you're going for a pizza. You know, maybe you have to work out why this guy doesn't want, maybe the food that he's eating he doesn't like. Yeah? It can be genuine reasons as well, you understand? But let's say he's doing it for the wrong reasons. Okay, and he knows he's doing it for wrong reasons. First of all, he shouldn't bash himself. He should realize he's doing something that's not so great. He should, like, try and like be 4 times a week. I could say 4.5 times, but that's not going to happen, right? Every week or every month he takes off a time. Right? Start with little. And then you work a little bit away. Because the Yetzirah will allow you to change. So yeah, you can do it, and then they'll get you back on it. Right? It's a knockout, that's a knockout. But if you take a little bit away from him, he's not even going to notice it. And then, you know, you cunningly just chop out, right, you know? A little bit here, a little bit there, you steal a little bit. Do that with Torah also, with Torah learning. Steal time. How can you steal time? Rabbi, I don't have enough time to learn. There's always time to steal. You're on a bus, you steal the time. You know the thing, you know, you see people, I see now they have these MP3s, I see rabbis walking around with these, they're not listening to music. Right? They're listening to Daf Yomisha or whatever, they're hearing the Gemaras, right? Once upon a time, someone could walk around and have the whole of Shas in his ear. Okay, we can't do that now. If you have an MP3, the whole of Shas is on your MP3. You're listening to the whole Daf Yomi, whatever Daf you want to listen to. There's lots of ways. You go back to America, right? You're going to be working. You have lunch break. Steal a time. Pick up a sefer. You're on the, what's it called, the metro. Steal a time. Pick up a sefer. You can't look at a sefer because it's moving around too much. Get an MP3 or an iPod. Put all the shas on an iPod, right? You can do a lot of things with that thing. Right? That wasn't a commercial. But you understand, you have to steal things. If something you want, steal it. The only thing you have to steal is Torah.
Whoa.
Steal time, right? No, not saying that. I'm talking about ruchness. I'm talking about ruchness.
That was the best shot culture we might have in that.
You understand? Steal the time. You can get it all.
Let's say okay? Before I saw across the street. Yeah. We might have in that way.
All right?
Thank you.
You understand?
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.